find Romans, the book of Romans, in the 15th chapter. And I'll give you a moment to get there. Romans, the 15th chapter. And I'm glad to be here tonight. We were just really passing through. I was scheduled to be at a youth revival the next couple of days, and that got canceled. And so we'll be around a couple more days. And I'm preaching in Cleveland on Sunday and heading home for a couple of weeks. And then we hit the revival trail. We're full all the way through Thanksgiving. And, of course, anything can change at any time, as you well know. But we're very thankful for God's goodness. The COVID was unique for us. We had several cancellations, enough that we actually were able to be home right at 10 straight weeks. And it's the first time I've been home for 10 straight weeks in 20 years. And really, it was a delight. We just enjoyed it. I cut trees. I put in a patio. And we did all kinds of things. Did some work on the RV, our old RV out there, parked behind the garage out here. The RV's 20 years old now, so it's got a lot of upkeep on it. Its days are numbered. You ought to pray with me about that. And we found one comparable, and that starts at about 110 grand if I buy one comparable. Isn't that crazy? But a guy told me he'd give me a good deal and let me have it for $59,000. And I was encouraged by that, but not really. I mean, might as well be a million, I mean, for crying out loud. But we were able to take care of some projects that way. And we started a podcast. I know several of you have told us you've listened to our podcast. If you're not familiar with that, it's like an old broadcast, except you do it online. And Bethany and I do it together. We call it Keeping It Young. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that pretty cool? KeepingItYoungPodcast.com. And if you went online and looked up KeepingItYoungPodcast.com, you can listen to it right there on the website. And we'd be delighted for you to do so. Thank you for all of you that have. We thought maybe a couple of hundred people would listen to it. But as of last night, we had 7,000 downloads of the podcast. And we were really overwhelmed, just really, really just in awe that God would allow that to happen. We're very thankful for it. And thank you, Pastor Falls. I assume, where's the camera? You put your Diet Coke down now and get your Bible and get with us here, all right? Thank you for letting me preach tonight. And Mom Dennis is home, I've been told. She stayed home tonight to watch Jimmy Swaggart. And I pray for her. She'd rather hear him than me, but we're glad that we're able to spend a few days with her, and that's a real blessing. Thank you guys for loving our family and praying for our family and treating our family so kindly through the years. And this is one of our favorite places, and we love you all so very much. It has been an odd year, though, hasn't it? My goodness. My collar's messed up. Do I look good now? Was that bugging y'all or just my wife? How many of y'all were bugged? How many OCD people? All right. How many of you could not care less? All right. Good deal. Thank you, sweetheart. Do I look good now? All right. Good deal. It's just been a strange time, and every church is a little different. Every state's a little different as we travel. And one of the things I did during this time is I looked for some humor to keep my heart happy. Did you do that? I looked up all the memes periodically on what everybody's saying about the COVID. I saw one that said, Walmart is now asking customers to wear masks. And then at the bottom it said, good luck with that. They can't even get some to wear pants. Yep, that one made me chuckle. I saw another one that said, I think I've gotten a tan from my refrigerator light. I don't know about that one. One of my favorites said, I've spent 2 weeks hanging out with myself, and I just want to say that I am so sorry to every person that I've ever spent time with. Yeah, I know some people like that. And there was two others I found kind of humorous. One, the first one said, to all my friends who say they can't wait to hug everybody when this is over, I just want you to know I didn't hug you before this started, and I'm not going to hug you when it's over. And I know some people like that. I had a pastor friend tell me, he said, I kind of like this quarantine. Keeps me from talking to people I don't like. Well, there you go. And then one more said that fencing is the perfect COVID-19 sport. Number one, you have to wear masks. Number two, you have to wear gloves. And number three, if anybody gets closer than 6 feet, you can stab them. And so that's our new national pastime, I guess, coming right along here. It is a strange time, and I want to preach to you a little bit tonight from Romans 15, and I'm going to talk to you about glorifying God in a pandemic. How about that? Glorifying God at this stage of our life. Look at Romans 15. Paul's writing to the church of Rome, at Rome, of course, and beginning in verse 1. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, that's a loaded verse. Loaded verse. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promise that was made unto the fathers. And, notice verse 9, it's our key verse, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the final verse of the chapter says, now the God of peace be with you all. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. Glorifying God in a pandemic, in our situation, in our time of living. You're familiar with the term glorify, aren't you? You know that term? It's not necessarily an easy one to describe or to define. But it literally means to impart glory to something or to render it excellent. So to glorify is to render something excellent, or to make it renowned, to render it illustrious, to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. You can do that with a car. Anybody here got a favorite car? I preached in Michigan last night, and I've said for years that I think the state car of Michigan is a dirty Buick. If you drive through Michigan, you'll see Buicks in every church parking lot, and there's a lot of dirt roads up there, and so they're usually dirty. And people glorify their car. People do that with their trucks, don't they? For years, I drove a Ford, and now I drive a Dodge. And people have strong opinions about this. I mean, you know what I mean by that. And it's a strong. So people will glorify their vehicle. I had one guy say to me, he said, I wouldn't drive a Dodge. You ought to drive a Chevy. And I thought, this is a good deal. So I said to him, buy me one and I will. And he didn't feel quite that strongly about it, much to my sorrow. But I would have if he'd have bought me one. You can glorify a spouse. How many of you are married tonight? Do you ever glorify your spouse? Do you ever take the time to cause the dignity and worth of your spouse to be manifest and acknowledged? Do you ever say, that's the love of my life right there? Or do you ever say to your husband, That's the man of my dreams right there. That's twice the man. He's twice the man I married. Some of you men are twice the man she married, aren't you? Just man up and admit it. It's the truth. But you glorify. You can glorify a team. I didn't live long in Ohio till I found out that folks in this area are pretty serious about Buckeyes. I found that out living in Ohio when I moved up here years ago. We can glorify a team. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. My son Matthew is a Roll Tide fan. He desperately needs revival. Would you pray about that? You can glorify a team. You can glorify a state. You can glorify a church. I preached last night in Michigan, and before the service, the youth pastor took me to Cracker Barrel, and we had a meal together. And as we were leaving Cracker Barrel, there was an employee standing on the porch greeting everybody and making sure they were properly covered, you know, before they entered the building. And as I left the building, I turned around, and I had a few moments, and I said, hey, how are you doing with all this? How you like wearing that mask? And it kind of made me chuckle. She went like this. She went, well, you know, it's okay. And she put it back up. And we talked a few moments. And I said to her, are you encouraged? Or are you finding it discouraging? And we talked a few moments. And I said, well, actually, I'm from Florida, but I'm traveling and preaching. I'm an evangelist. And I'm preaching just up the road here at First Baptist. You know First Baptist? And she just lit up and she said, of course I do. I used to go to church there when I was a little girl, and that's where I got saved. And boy, she beamed. I got saved at First Baptist, she said. She made the church look really good. What was she doing? She was glorifying the church. Are y'all following me tonight? She was glorifying the church. Now here's what the Bible says in our text in Romans 15 and verse 9. The text says that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Now how many of you agree that based on the Word of God, your life and my life is to glorify God? How many are with me on that? Now here's what Romans 15 does. It tells us how to do that. There's at least three things I would share with you tonight. I'm going to watch my time. You're always out by 9:30, aren't you? And so we got plenty of time here. Notice three ways, three answers in our text. How can we glorify God at any time, but especially during a time like ours? I love how Romans 15 is so on target in what it has to say. Look in these first few verses and notice this. In Romans 15, we glorify God by focusing on our care for one another. Here's how you glorify God. You focus on your care for each other. Do you see that in verse 1? We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, we are to think of others. That's a hard thing for us to do, isn't it? We're to be aware of others. We're to think of others. And that's not something that should just be true in a pandemic. We're a church family, and a church family, you know, is called to assemble together. I do believe the church ought to assemble together. Y'all with me on that? I believe that. I'm for the assembling of the saints. But sometimes we assemble together and we still don't accomplish why God wants us to assemble together. You know, the Bible says that we're to assemble together and to provoke one another to love and good works. In other words, I'm to come to church aware of you. I'm to come to church and know your hurts and your concerns and your care. And I'm to be a blessing to you as I come to church. I'm to care for you more than for me. Isn't it easy to come to church and that's my seat? I'm a little confused tonight because the Claggett family has moved. This something doesn't seem right in this auditorium. I mean, how many times have I preached from this pulpit and Tim Claggett was right there? I look over that way and think, boy, he's not right with God, but then he's over here. And it is a confusing time, but it's easy to come to church and sit in your seat, isn't it? And never be aware of those around you. But Paul says to the church at Rome, you that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please yourself. You're to think of others. And notice, you're to edify others. In verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? To edification. It's so easy during this time of our lives to be down, to be negative. And I'm just being frank. Isn't that right? It's easy to be frustrated, to be irritated, to be bothered. And how many of you agree there are some things to be frustrated, irritated, and bothered about? How many of y'all agree with that? But here's what we can miss if we're not careful. We are to focus right now on caring for one another. In other words, I'm to edify others. How good are you doing right now at edifying others? You know, edify is to build up. Are you building folks? I mean, are you showing that in your language? Do you tend to say, oh my word, or you tend to say, boy, isn't God good? Do you tend to think in terms of, I can't stand it, or do you tend to think in terms of, Jesus is coming again? One is edifying, one is discouraging. This is so simple. I love this. This has been a help. How do you glorify God in a world like ours? Well, in the church, here's what we do. We focus on our care for one another. We think of others. We edify others. And notice what he says here in the sixth verse is that we're to be in unity. That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are aware of the fact that unity is important? Unity is vital in the church. I read a illustration somewhere along the way. This New York Yankee, he sold his business in New York City and he moved west and he bought himself a ranch. And after he'd been there about 5 years, one of his buddies from New York City flew out to visit him. And his buddy, when he got there and they were talking, he said, well, what did you name this ranch? And the guy that owned the ranch said, well, my wife wanted to call it the Lazy Bee. I preferred the Bar Y. My daughter wanted it to be called the Susie Q, and my son wanted it to be called the Broken Arrow. So his friend said, well, what did you name it? He said, well, we just decided to put it all together, so we call our ranch the Lazy Bee Bar Y Susie Q Broken Arrow Ranch. And his friend said, well, where's all the cows? And he said, well, we don't have any anymore. And he said, what happened to them? And he said, well, they didn't survive the branding. You're aware, aren't you, church, that in a church you can have any number of opinions, especially in a pandemic time. And I've noticed every church I go to that folks have pretty strong opinions about it. Well, we're Baptists, of course we have strong opinions. And on top of that, we're independent Baptists, so our opinions are right. And you know our opinions are right. We're independent Baptists, because if we weren't right, we would change. And independent Baptists, we don't change. That's how we know we're right. And okay, I'm being a little silly here. I'm making sure you're staying with me. But think about this. How many opinions can you have in a pandemic? And here's what the Bible says. What we ought to do is we ought to strive to be with one mind and one mouth, glorifying to God. And notice how this builds. Notice how this is building, church. This is how you glorify God in a time like this. What you got to do is you've got to think of others. You've got to edify others. And you've got to continually in a church work to be in unity. In other words, we gotta think of each other. We gotta pray for each other. We gotta encourage each other. We gotta speak to each other. We gotta call each other. We've gotta check up on each other. Caring for others is vital in a church. And we're so busy in our culture, we can often forget to care for one another. Some of you teenagers don't even know some of the widow ladies here in the church. And you wouldn't say you don't. I mean, it's not that you don't care for them. It's just that we go through our emotions. We do our thing. When I was a teenager and I got saved and God called me to preach, I was in a church, and it was a church that had me come and preach for them quite frequently. And there was this lady that always sat by herself. And one service, I went over and sat down, introduced myself, and got to know this widow lady named Mrs. Sands. And she was a quiet widow lady. I never went to her house, never had a meal with her. Just talked with her at church. I prayed with her, laughed with her, found out how she got saved. I heard about her husband and how he died and how long she had been a member of that church. Just, I don't know how many conversations I had, but I will always remember when I went off to Bible college at Pensacola Christian College and was studying for the ministry, almost every week of my college experience, I got a handwritten letter from Mrs. Sands. She wrote me a letter, thinking about you, praying for you, and this week all I had was, and she'd tell me how much money she had enclosed in my envelope. It was usually $3, $4, or $5. Every week she sent me $3 or $4 or $5. Miss Wendy, I did all my laundry because of Mrs. Sands. I had clean laundry because of a lady I met at church and tried to encourage. Isn't it true you can go to church in the midst of a normal time of life, let alone a challenging time of life? You can go to church and just go through the motions and say howdy and walk out. Paul is saying to the church at Rome, here's what you gotta do, church. You gotta go to church and you gotta get together and you gotta do more than just go through the motions. You've gotta care for each other. You gotta think of others and you gotta edify others and you've gotta be unity minded. How many of you all with me on this first point? Does this make sense? All right, here's the second thing he says. How do you glorify God in life and especially during a pandemic? Well, number one, you focus on your care for each other. Number two, you focus on God's character. I love this passage. God's character is all over this passage. Look in verse 5. You got your Bible? Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Notice he's the God of patience and consolation. If you drop down to verse 13, you find out he's the God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When you get to verse 13, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. What's he focusing on here? God's character. Patience is steadfastness. How many of you praise God that our God is steadfast? Aren't you thankful for that? The world can change and leadership changes and issues occur, but our God is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. How many of you just say praise God for that? You got to focus on God's character. Don't get so hung up on CNN that you miss that your God is still alive and still on the throne of the universe and still ruling in the affairs of men. Don't ever miss that. He's the God of patience. He's steadfast. Now, we'd do better if we turned our TVs off more. I think we got to preach that a little bit louder in our generation right now. Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. If you had no idea who Nancy Pelosi was, you could die happy. In fact, if you had never heard of President Trump, you could survive. We got to get our focus on something different than the issues of this hour. We got to get our focus on the God of consolation and patience. He's a God of patience. That word means steadfastness. He's a God of consolation. That has the idea of exhortation. You know what I think God's saying to you? Hey, everything's okay. Everything's okay. I'm still in charge. I'm still on the throne of the universe. I still have my ways in the affairs of men. If you don't believe that, read Daniel sometime soon. Read the book of Daniel and watch God's fingerprints all over the kings of Babylon. They didn't believe in God and they were pagan kings, but Daniel gives you a glimpse that Almighty God has His way in the affairs of men. Isn't that encouraging tonight? You got to get your focus on the things of this world and put your focus on the character of your Almighty God. He's a God of patience and consolation. He's a God of hope. Now, that word means confidence, of anticipation, of expectation. It's to expect. It's to confide. It's to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. Do you ever feel like this? What in the world is going to happen? Where in the world are we headed? What in the world? I joke with pastors sometimes. Like, I'm scheduled to preach a revival at the Newark Baptist Temple next April. Pastor Falls, you have that down, I hope. Because it's on my schedule. So I'm scheduled to preach next April a revival meeting at the Newark Baptist Temple. Often these days when pastors schedule me to preach a revival, I say to them, now I got it down, but I want you to know something. If the rapture takes place, you're going to have somebody else. I recommend Bill Rice. That was a joke. All right, I'm joking. But here's the idea. What is your expectation? Hope is an expectation. And one commentator said it's a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Is your hope in the White House, or is your hope in the fact that there is a living God, and I don't know what's going to happen down the road, and I don't know where all this stuff is headed, and I don't know what's going to happen come November. I have no idea what's going to happen when this service is over. But I have a God of hope. And I can put my focus on Him. I can look His direction. And I'm telling you, everything's all right in my Father's house. You see what He's trying to do? He's trying to tell you, this is how you handle a pandemic. You don't put your eyes down on the ground and sigh and spend your days discouraged and down and frustrated. No, you got to get focused on caring for each other. And you got to get your focus on the character of Almighty God. And in that great verse, verse 33... I just love that other glimpse of God here. The God of peace. The God of peace be with you all. Can I ask you a question, dear friend? Are you at peace? Are you at peace? Idea of peace is all's well. All's well. All's well. It's like eating a big meal. You ever eaten a big meal and pushed back from the table and went, because all is it, you're at peace. Y'all with me on this tonight? He's the God of peace. Reminded me this day as I looked at verse 33 again of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do you know it? Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about anything. Don't be full of care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It's a divine promise in your Bible. There's no hour to be discouraged and down and frustrated and irritated. You got to get your focus on caring for others and get your focus on the character of God. Are y'all with me on this? There's one more thing, and I love this. I got to focus on our care for each other. I got to focus on God's character. And the last thing He tells us in this verse is very powerful, and it's in verses 9 through 12. We've got to focus on our conduct. If I'm going to respond appropriately in any situation, but especially during where we are right now, I've got to have the right conduct. Look at verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and I will do what unto thy name? I want to say to you what Paul is saying right here is, you know what, church at Rome, listen to me. He says, it's time to sing. It's time to sing. It's time to sing. That's what he's saying here. I get convicted about this sometimes. For the longest time in my life, I'd read a verse like this. Let me read it to you. The longest time of my life, I'd read this verse. You ever read this verse? You'll know it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You ever read that verse? For years, I'd read that verse, and I'd say, all right, there's a verse to tell you how to have music standards in your life. How many of y'all believe in music standards? How many of y'all agree there's things that are right and there's things that are wrong? Y'all with me on that? But you know what I did? I missed the whole point of this verse. The point of this verse is not so I can tell you what kind of music you ought to have. The point of this verse is that I ought to be singing and singing and singing and singing, and I ought to use music to get my heart in a happy state of mind. You know the word heart means your thoughts, your emotions, and your decisions. I got to get some words in my brain. I got to get some music in my thoughts. I got to get my emotions under control and use music. It's time to sing. How long has it been since you sung a happy song? I mean, just throughout the day. You ever sing? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. You know the rest, don't you? And I'm so happy, so very happy. It's amazing how a song makes a difference. Lately, I've been singing this one a lot. This is a song, it gets stuck in my mind. And I love it. It's a song I like. I sing it a lot lately. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. I love that song. It gets in my mind. And it's a blessing to my kids, and here's why. Because I typically sing songs one line only. I'll do this all the time, Jamie. I'll just burst into song. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Go back to reading my book. You know, I don't know, 20 minutes later, it just burst out. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I think it was Jake said to me one day, for crying out loud, finish the song. And he obviously needed some joy, so I sang it again. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. You know what the Bible's trying to say right here? You're to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. It's time to sing, church. It's time to get a song in your heart and enjoy singing. There's something special about it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy salvation. How's that go? Thy great salvation, so rich and free. How long has it been since you had a song in your heart? How do you respond in a discouraging hour and tough times? You sing. Lift your voice. How long has it been since you sung? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I miss Dad Dennis when I sing that song. He always sang that. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Do you have a song in your heart? Here's what the Bible is trying to say. If you're going to glorify God, here's how you do it. You sing unto His name. This is just about going to church. Praise God you sang happy songs tonight. I want to take a moment and testify. Can I just share a pet peeve with you? I love singing, I love hymns, but sometimes we'll go to the church and the services are like, oh. Sometimes in a revival meeting, we'll go to a revival meeting and the folks come in, they've worked hard all day and they're tired and they're down, they're discouraged and they've been busy all day and they haven't had dinner yet and they come in and we sing 71 verses of Be Thou My Vision, O Lord. And I love that song, but if that song makes you happy, get it in your heart and sing it. But if that doesn't do it for you, sing with me. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. God wants you to sing. You boys and girls, sing. Just get a happy heart. He says it's time to sing, but he doesn't stop there. He says in the second place that it's time to rejoice. Look at that in verse 10. And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That word rejoice is a great word. Rejoice means to be delighted with a thing. To be delighted with something. Are you delighted in the Bible? Are you delighted in your blessings? Are you delighted in what God's done for you? We're to rejoice. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, Paul told the church at Philippi. He says right here, how do you glorify God? Well, here's how you glorify God. You sing. Here's how you glorify God. You rejoice. That word rejoice means to be in a good frame of mind. How many of you are aware of the fact that God's people often are not in a good frame of mind? Life can get you down, can't it? You can get frustrated, can't you? You can get easily bothered. But the Bible says right here, if you're going to glorify God, you've got to get yourself into a good frame of mind. I was flying somewhere some years ago, and I got up early, but way before daylight. And I got a quick shower and got dressed and got my luggage and drove in the dark to an airport and checked in the dark and went through security with unhappy people. And went down and sat at the gate. Nobody's talking. It's not even daylight yet. We all boarded this flight, and I got in my seat. And nobody's talking. And all of a sudden, coming down the, whatever they call that, the runway or whatever that is, on the on-ramp, coming down the ramp, I don't know who it was. I just heard this sound. So, it wasn't even daylight yet. But I heard somebody coming down the ramp, whistling. And they were whistling the old hymn, "Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine." He got on whistling it. He got on the plane before daylight, whistling. And he was just so happy. And we all hated him. I'm joking. I sat there, and here's what I thought. There's a man with a happy heart. I don't think we have to fake it. And there's some people by nature that are more happy than others, aren't they? You know, there's just some people by nature see the negative side of everything. You know anybody like that? I mean, it's going to be a beautiful day, and they'll say something like, "Yeah, it'll rain tomorrow." You know, it doesn't matter what happens. They'll always see something on the negative side. But God's people are to be different than that. We are to rejoice in the Lord. That's what he says here. We are to have a happy heart. Psalm 51 in verse 10, where David's getting right with God. You know that verse? "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And do what? "Renew a right spirit within me." You know why he tells the Gentiles to sing and rejoice? Because it's an easy thing in a sin-cursed world to get your spirit out of shape. It's an easy thing in a sin-cursed world to have a down spirit and be discouraged and frustrated and irritated and bothered. It's easy to happen. We all do it. But he says, you got to glorify God. God wants you to glorify. Hasn't he been merciful to you? So glorify the God of mercy by singing and by rejoicing. He gives us two more. Can you handle two more? What's my conduct supposed to be? Well, in verse 9, I'm supposed to sing. In verse 10, I'm supposed to rejoice. In verse 11, I'm supposed to praise the Lord. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. The word praise is to extol or to honor or to recommend. To praise is to recommend. My life, my conduct is to recommend my God to others. I'm to recommend him. I guess you could say it like this. I'm to make him look good. I'm to make my God look good. If you got a neighbor that's an atheist and doesn't even believe in God, they still ought to want what you have because you got such a happy heart with what you have. I remember a guy said one time, he said, I'm not sure I believe in your God, but if I did, I'd want what you have. What do you mean by that? What he means by that is there ought to be something different in my life. The world ought to see my heart is happy. I ought to make God look good. I ought to recommend God by my happy heart. Do you recommend God? I mean, we ought to be soul winners. We ought to recommend God with our mouth. But we ought to recommend God with our singing and with our rejoicing and with our praise unto God. There's one more here, and that's in verse 12. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles, watch this now, in him shall the Gentiles trust. What he says in verse 9 is, here's how you glorify God. This is the way you glorify God. You sing. It's time to sing. How do you glorify God? In verse 10, it's time to rejoice. How do you glorify God? In verse 11, well, it's time to praise the Lord. How do you glorify God? In verse 12, well, it's time to trust. And I want to park there a few moments before I close tonight. It's time to trust, to rest, to depend, to believe. It's time to trust. Oh, my dear church family, my dear friends, listen tonight. God is on the throne of the universe, so let's trust Him. He still saves, let's trust Him. He still answers prayers, let's trust Him. He still responds to worship, so let's trust Him. He's still good, let's trust Him. He is steadfast, let's trust Him. He's a wonderful God. Let's trust Him. One author said this today. The outlook on the earth may be dark and depressing, but uncover your windows toward God, and you'll see that the land is full of light. I like that quote. I want to say that again. The outlook on the earth may be dark and depressing, but uncover your windows toward God, and you will see that the land is full of light. Our house in Florida, I wish y'all could come visit us. Our house in Florida has windows bigger than your windows here in the auditorium. Every room has almost floor-to-ceiling windows, and we live in the woods. The lady that designed our house, we bought it from her children after she passed away. She designed it herself and had it built to her specifications, and she loved looking out. So everyone in our house has almost floor-to-ceiling windows. We keep the blinds open. We get up in the morning, first thing we do is open the blinds. And there's just something encouraging about getting out of bed and opening the blinds and the sun is shining. And the cardinals are on the bird feeder. And the squirrels are trying to get on the bird feeder. There's something special about a beautiful day. Opening the windows and the light. We live in Florida, so we get a lot of sunshine. Open the windows and there's the light. Open the windows and there's the light. And here's what the word trust is. The word trust is, you look around and you think, wow, it's a dark hour. My goodness, it's depressing. What in the world's going on, for crying out loud? And what's going to happen next? What's going to be the new regulation? What are we going to do next? You look around, it's depressing, it's dark, it's discouraging. But you open the windows toward God, here's what you're going to find out. The whole land is full of light. God's in charge. He's in control. He's a good God. Church, if there's ever been an hour that we as God's people have got to stop acting like the world around us, I should expect them to be down and discouraged and frustrated and irritated. They don't have any hope. But my God is alive and well, and He sits on the throne of the universe, and He is all-powerful, and He is almighty, and He hears prayers, and He cares, and He responds to worship. Trust Him. Put your trust in the Lord. You want to glorify God? Then it's time to sing, and it's time to rejoice, and it's time to praise the Lord, and it's time to trust Him. Am I making sense tonight or not? Some of y'all look like you need this more. I maybe ought to preach another hour. You got to trust the Lord. You got to put your heart in this and love Him with all of your heart. It's an important matter to rest in Him. Rest in Him. He knows what's going on in your life. Rest in Him. He loves you. He loves you. I know I've said it here before, but every time I say God loves you, I hear the voice of this one preacher we met in a church, and he told his church at the end of my service, he said, church, I want y'all to know today that God sure does love you. And then he said to them, well, just so you know, He even likes you. And I like that. I thought that's incredible. God likes me. God likes me. He does. He likes me. My God likes me. I'm his son. I belong to him. Right here's my Jacob. I say right now, I like this kid. It's my boy. I like him. He's my son. I like him. It's my kiddo. Last week we went down and saw Matt. Matt was, he's doing an internship. He's 20 now. He's in love. He's wanting to get married next summer. I think we're for it. As far as we can tell, we're all in. He preached Sunday night at a church in Indianapolis where he's serving. So I was invited to go preach in a church, and I said no, and I drove down to Indianapolis to hear Matt preach. You parents would understand this, wouldn't you? And he did pretty well. First time to preach in church, preached 35 minutes. That's a sign of bad things to come. But he did well. He preached good. It was good. He preached well. I like that kid. I can tell you I love him. I love Matthew Young, but when he preached, I like that kid. That's my son. I like Charity. There's my daughter up here. I like Charity. I'm glad we had one more. Here we are, 50, and we got a seventh grader. I like it. We should have another one. Or not. We were down at the beach recently in Pensacola, and we were home taking a walk. There was this little kid toddling down, this little guy, he's barely walking, toddling down the boardwalk in front of us. My wife said, I've been praying for one of those. And I said, honey, I hope you're specific. You better make that real clear. Grandbaby, grandbaby. Make sure you tell the Lord specifically what you're thinking there. We might have twins or something. I've always said there's more than one way to grow a church. Have one or bring one. And not many people are bringing one, so you ought to have one. That'd really keep you young. I'm just telling you. I like her. You know you belong to God and he loves you. But he likes you too. He just likes you. I don't know if he talks to the angels in heaven about us, but I know he talks to the angels. I know he does. He talks to the angels. I like that one story where he said to the angel, go down there and get Peter out of prison. I don't know how God does that. I don't know, but we know that he sends the angels on missions. Go down there and get Peter out of prison. And I wonder if God would ever say to the angels, that's my son. That's my son David right there. We know that he said that to Satan about Job, didn't he? He said to Satan, that's my servant Job down there. That's one good man right there. Let me just tell you right now, that's my servant Job. I wonder if God ever talks about you in heaven. She belongs to me. That's my daughter right there. I like her. I'm not trying to be irreverent tonight. I'm just telling you, for some reason, we forget the fact that our God is real and he cares about us. We ought to trust him. Trust him. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do to glorify God in an hour like ours? Church, here's what you do to glorify God. You care for each other. You got to pray for one another. You got to encourage one another. You got to call each other. You got to care for each other. You got to reach out to each other. You got to check up on each other. You got to help each other stay happy. Help each other. Just be an encouragement. You got to care. That's how you glorify God. How do you glorify God? You get your focus on God's character. He's the God of peace, the God of hope, the God of patience, the God of consolation. He's Jehovah Jireh, and the list just goes on and on. He's the God our healer, and the God our savior, and the God our provider, and the God our righteousness. Rejoice in that. You have a great God, church. Get your focus on his character. And let's get focused on the conduct we ought to have. It's time to sing, and it's time to rejoice, and it's time to praise God, and it's time to trust him. Ladies and gentlemen, Newark Baptist Temple, that's what it means to glorify God according to this passage in Romans 15.